March 2nd, 2023, 1249 hours. My name is Ward Green. Welcome. Today I would like to share with you the performance of the winner of a certain guitar competition and playing classical music. Let's listen to this, please. If you agree, if you're willing, let's go.
Thank you.
Did you notice at the end there? It almost seemed like he was in. He had pretended in his own mind that he was going to still had that he still had yet that he had more notes to still to play. Like that he still had more music that had to be played. The way he paused at the end before he stopped, it was almost as though he had imagined playing more so that he wouldn't get too nervous about coming to the end. And that way he maintains his level of calm right up to the end. That's what I noticed about that at the end. That seemed very interesting. So today I'd like to talk about a few things that I've learned about hypercalcemia, which is a poisoning with calcium in the bloodstream. Usually it's caused by some other things, but it can be caused by taking too much vitamin D. It's not usually caused by that, but let's say it were caused by vitamin D, because I've been taking a lot of vitamin D. Let's see what I've learned here. First thing I learned, but it wasn't the first thing, I mean, but the first thing I want to present, is that generally vitamin D associated hypercalcemia. Let me mute my audio system so we don't get any unexpected noises, hopefully. I was saying, generally, vitamin D-associated hypercalcemia occurs only when extremely large doses of vitamin D, extremely large doses of vitamin D, often several hundredfold. Now, the reason why I'm having trouble reading it is because I have a lot of information I want to share, and my mind is not remaining. I don't want to focus on just one thing that I'm going to present. So when extremely large doses of vitamin D, often several hundredfold the recommended intake, are ingested. Now, several hundredfold, let's say 300, meaning several hundred, it's 300, let's say 300 times the recommended vitamin D, which is 4,000 international units for an adult. 4,000 international units times 300 is a 12 with five zeros, or 1.2 million. Because 300 times, well, wait a minute, it's more than that. Is it more than that? It's two zeros on the 300. Yeah, no, 4,000 has three zeros, right? It's five zeros. 12, a 12 with five zeros is, six zeros is a million, so 1.2 million is what it is. You have to take a million units of vitamin D to get, per day, to get hypercalcemia. And I, therefore, don't believe I have hypercalcemia. But I might have too much vitamin D. So, anyway, but let's carry on and see what else I've learned that I want to share right now. But I've learned, of course, other things probably. But just today I did all this research because I've had time now that I've, you know, gotten some more time. You know, and what do you think we need? In order to live forever, what do we need? We need time to learn how to live forever. So the biggest need, or the biggest thing that's needed in order to live forever, is time. So that's the most, I don't know, unironic thing I suppose you could ever imagine. We need time so that we can have time. That's what that says. Very interesting. How to lower your vitamin D level. That's a very important thing. Increase your vitamin K2, because vitamin K2 uses up vitamin D. But don't use the form of K2. Or, you know, use the forms of K2 that are available, but, I mean, don't use the packaging of K2 that includes vitamin D. Don't use any formulation, is the word, any formulation of vitamin K2 that includes vitamin D. If you're worried about poisoning with vitamin D, that you've already taken vitamin D in too large of a quantity, start taking vitamin K2 without vitamin D, but increase that vitamin K2. That's one of the first things. The second thing is, of course, stop eating calcium for the most part. But that's not true, though. I don't believe it's not necessarily true to stop eating calcium. because you probably aren't hypercalcemic, as that particular article showed there. That was only one article. Remember, many of these things are only one source and they're not reliable information. Every article that you read is only one source. It may be unreliable. So that article that we read there was PubMed Central, an article called that said that you need 1 million units of vitamin D to get hypercalcemia, 1 million international units per day. That was from the article 2016 in Endocrinal or something review, whatever that is, from 2016, and it was an article called Vitamin D Mediated Hypercalcemia. Okay? I mean, there's more to read in that article, obviously, but I haven't read it all. But that was a very important point there that they made. The next thing I want to talk about is peanut butter. I've had a craving for peanuts for quite a while, in terms of a few weeks now. I've thought about I want to eat peanuts, and I didn't know why. But now I realize it could be because of this fact here, that somebody claims at Harvard, which is pretty well-known institution, well-regarded institution, lectins, it says, in legumes like beans, peanuts, and soybeans, or whole grains even, can interfere with the absorption of calcium. Right there. So if you want to stop your calcium being absorbed because you've overdosed on vitamin D, then maybe you can eat some beans, peanuts, soybeans, or whole grains. And I also noticed that I just realized now, for the first time, that I was eating the peanut butter on these probably whole grain. I don't know, but they were crackers, very dry crackers. I bought many boxes of them, and they've been in the cupboard for probably a couple of years now. But they're not going to go bad because they're very dry, right? Extremely dry. They were just really hard crackers. And I forget the name of them, Mary's crackers maybe or something, I forget the name. But I think they have a lot of, they have seeds in them, so I think it's whole grain because they're very, it's possibly whole grain anyway. So that's a very plausible thing you could eat also, whole grains with peanut butter, I was eating that for the past couple of days now. And I've been watching movies while I did that because I can't do much, I don't want to do anything too extravagant, so I'll just relax and try to relax and eat the right foods to prevent or recover from this vitamin D poisoning, which is 68,000 international units for 68 days, and more than that actually. As it progressed through those 68 days, it came up to 168,000 international units per day at the end. So I've been watching movies, and one of the things I also want to say before I forget is I remembered when I was mugged now. It must have been the 1980s because I believe I can remember that it was not as late as 1990 because I met Jehovah's Witnesses in 1988 or 89 or even maybe 87. But it was somewhere in there that I met Jehovah's Witnesses for the first time in my life. I'd never encountered them until then, and I was 30 years old, I guess, or slightly older. When I first met Jehovah's Witnesses, I'd never encountered them. And after I encountered them, I don't think I would have had this experience with being mugged. So I believe that I can remember that for sure. So that, I believe it was in the 80s, the late 80s, when I had this mugging. And it was because I was working for a vacuum cleaner sales company for a while, and that job didn't go well. And then I got a job with a courier company, but it was possibly even in 85 it could have been, this being the mugging that I had, which I talked about in the previous video. So that's that. But look at this. We can use peanuts or beans, and I was eating beans prior to this, realizing I was poisoned, but I haven't been eating them since, but I could eat those too, to prevent excessive absorption of calcium, if that's what I need to do, but I'm not sure that's really the right thing to do necessarily, but it seemed to be helping me, because I needed to eat something, and I can't eat my dairy. At least that's what I thought. Now, but maybe that article is wrong about you needing a million international units per day. Maybe in my case, I got hypercalcemia, which means too much calcium in the blood, just from the amount, these several, many dozens of thousands of international units of vitamin D in the form of cholecalciferol that I was taking. And the next thing, coffee. First of all, caffeine. Let's talk about caffeine. First of all, we talked about peanut butter and whole grains, but I'm mainly interested in peanut butter for myself right now. Now, maybe you're allergic to peanut butter. You could try something else. The chemical properties in caffeine, this is from Persona, a science company, a Nestle Health science company. The chemical properties in caffeine impede their uptake, that is, the uptake of vitamins and minerals, and increase the rate at which they are excreted from the body. So caffeine can increase the excretion of these things. You want to be excreting vitamin D. You want to excrete calcium quickly. Caffeine can help you do that, according to that. So caffeine might be useful. Once again, I've got too many thoughts to try to state them all at once. Not coffee, but caffeine might be useful. Okay, so the next thing I wanted to show you. Is coffee good as a source of caffeine? Let's look at this. Studies have shown that, this is from drbatras.com. Studies conducted have shown that coffee increases blood sugar levels. That's bad. This exhausts the adrenals and leads to thyroid problems. This is especially bad if you have hypoglycemia, as it can leave you feeling nervous and anxious through the day. In other words, low blood sugar. If you have low blood sugar. It can leave you feeling nervous and anxious throughout the day. Moreover, so by exhausting the adrenals and eventually leading to thyroid problems, you can be nervous and anxious through the day, but because of that, that's not desirable at all. Moreover, regular consumption of coffee is addictive. That's what that means. Addictive. That's bad. Okay? That means coffee's a drug. Okay, it's not like these other things. Sugar's addictive too. That means sugar is a drug. Okay? Vitamin K2 is not addictive. Not at all. No problem stopping. Nothing like that. Vitamin D is not addictive. No problem stopping. Calcium is not addictive. No problem stopping. Now, consider matcha tea as a source of caffeine. Matcha tea may act on the... This is from matcha.com. Matcha tea may act on the hormonal balance of the thyroid. Okay, that's serious. The possibilities are intriguing and regarded with a high safety threshold. Even consumed daily or throughout the day. Still, one should always consult with their physician. Now, in my case, I'm my own physician, which is extremely rare. And I have a bachelor's degree in engineering physics and a master's degree in experimental physics. And I've been studying, and this includes the study of chemistry and mathematics and so on, many other things. But I also have over 20 years as a student of nutrition. I've been studying nutrition for over 20 years in my own personal case only. Of course, I'm not studying other people's nutrition. You know, I don't try to practice on other people, although when I was married, of course, I was having, before my wife passed away because of multiple problems, and she was using a doctor also, and, you know, not something that I advise anymore for anyone, but of course, everybody has to be a free agent as far as what they decide they're going to use for a physician. But my wife lived to be 92 years old, but she had all kinds of problems. And I think they, well, I was going to say they may have been caused by certain choices that she made, as well as the choices that, her doctors made. These problems that she got, but she still lived a long life. She had very serious skin problems, the worst eczema that almost anyone had ever seen. Extremely bad. Well, we're not going to go into that today. We're going to, I mean, I remember there is some more. There is some more I want to say on that, but you know, I remember that that other material or the other content that I want to say does exist. I just don't remember what it is right now. But anyway, I'm trying to keep as much in my head as I can, and I can't keep everything in my short-term memory, you know, or in my long-term memory either. You know, I can't keep all these facts there at the same time. I have to get them back. For the purpose, before I can present them, I have to have them in my head. But so there's, matcha tea is highly safe. It's very safe. The caffeine in matcha tea is very safe, and that's incredible. It's not like coffee at all. Completely different. Okay, so you can use caffeine in the form of matcha tea. That can suppress the absorption of vitamins and minerals if you've been overdosed, if you've been intoxicated, or if you've become what's the word? If you've become affected by toxicity. Now look at this. The next thing I want to read is Hammer Nutrition. Vitamin D, we're talking only about sugar. Sugar, a high intake of sugar, it interestingly increases the production of a devious enzyme which degrades stores of vitamin D. So increasing sugar might be good if you've suffered from vitamin D toxicity. You want to get rid of the stores of vitamin D. So sugar, this is the only time that I could recommend sugar. But this is a time when I'm toxic, when I'm intoxicated with vitamin D. And the intoxication of vitamin D is not like being drunk, although it might have a few similarities, but it's poisoned, okay? And so sugar can help get rid of that poison. That's what that says. Now the other thing, calcium. Look at calcium. I'm not reading the other ones. To look at this. Excretion of calcium. I've known this for a long time. Sugar causes the excretion of calcium. That's why sugar is bad too. Another reason is because you're losing all your calcium when you eat sugar. So you're going to be, you don't lose all of it, but you lose it gradually when you eat sugar. And that means you'll have to increase your calcium intake, or you're going to die basically over time, but because of the excretion of calcium. But that if you've become poisoned by calcium, there again, it's a good thing. Sugar is a good thing for that. Now the doctors will not tell you this. You can't get this information from a doctor. They don't know it. Doctors are well-meaning, perhaps, very well-meaning, many of them, I think all of them, but we don't know. But they're not knowledgeable enough about using logic and reasoning and using facts like this, which are well-known if they're studied, about natural substances like sugar and vitamin D and calcium, okay? Now, let's look at the next one. AcademicCup.com. Well, that's a very, academic-sounding website. It's from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, Oxford Academic. Chocolate consumption and bone density in older women. This article is from 2008, January the 1st. And, interesting here, the results. We're just going to look at the results. No, just the conclusions, actually, just the conclusions. Older women who consumed chocolate daily had lower bone density and strength. That's the only thing I want to point out there. So chocolate can apparently affect the calcium in the body. It's another thing that should be noted. So maybe when you overdose on vitamin D, you eat chocolate and peanut butter and sugar, and you watch movies like I've been doing, which... You don't have to do that, but that's what I've been doing. because I'm able to relax and recuperate at the same time, and I'm able to get the benefit of the enjoyment from things I can't otherwise enjoy because I'm not typically going to be intoxicated or poisoned with these vitamins and minerals like I am right now. So, or the one vitamin and one mineral. So there it is. Chocolate daily is a bad thing. Possibly. Now, that doesn't say dark chocolate, I notice, either. So we don't really know. But another thing I do have, maybe we'll talk about that in a minute, because I do intend to mention that. That's here, too. But here we have vitamin D2. But before we mention that, a research group at Martin Luther University, that sounds good, and the Max Rubner Institute, both, both those organizations, has now identified a new previously unknown source of vitamin D2. Cocoa and foods containing cocoa, which is chocolate. Now, cocoa is, of course, cooked chocolate, or chocolate that's been cooked. What's the word? It's been pasteurized? Or what do they do? Roast it? I'm trying to think what they do. There's a difference. It's not raw. Okay? Cacao is raw in the English language. The raw chocolate is cacao. Cocoa is cooked. An unknown source of vitamin D2 is cocoa. Okay? And it's because of the yeast contamination, they say, that's why it produces D2. But anyway, that's irrelevant. It's unimportant for what we're talking about. According to the researchers, cocoa butter have the highest amount of D2. But look at what we in this other article. Now, that was from Medical Express. Okay. Brittle bones are because they're not getting enough D2. Right? But chocolate is not a good source. It might provide D2, but we've already learned that chocolate, in older women at least, causes low bone density. So that's not the same thing as what this is saying. It's the opposite. They're in conflict, and you can't trust one source. It's plain from that. The other point, though, from this point we haven't yet covered, from vitamin D2, what should you know? Good prescriptions or good RX. It says here, is D2 better than D3? Well, evidence shows that D2 is less effective at raising D levels, which are the final biological forms in the body of vitamin D. D2 is less effective than, and it's of shorter duration of action than the vitamin D3 form of vitamin D, which is, and the counterpart of vitamin D2 also is D3. So they're both usable, but D3 is superior, which means D2 will not cause calcium to be absorbed as effectively. So even if you're eating chocolate, it might give you some D2, but it's going to be safer if you're overdosing on calcium because it's not going to cause the calcium to be absorbed. So there we have that. And now, so we've already covered Medical Express article in the one fact we wanted to get from it. And now we have another fact, cocoa, which is rich in vitamin D. There's another, and it's the same fact, but it's another website called newnewchocolates.com. Cocoa, it says, which is rich in vitamin D, appears to be an even more promising source of vitamin D2. Well, so what, right? Because we just learned that doesn't necessarily, it's not good. Because chocolate isn't necessarily healthy. It's not healthy in older women, as they said. Parathyroid glands. Hypercalcemia is a condition in which the calcium level in your blood is above normal. Okay. Too much calcium in your blood can weaken your bones, create kidney stones, and interfere with how your heart and brain work. Hypercalcemia is usually a result of overactive parathyroid glands, but we've already found that vitamin D can, in excess, vitamin D can cause hypercalcemia. So that's that. It's not necessarily caused by the parathyroid glands. But that first source that we looked at said you need 1 million international units of vitamin D3 per day before you're going to get hypercalcemia, possibly. That is probably a little high. You probably can get much lower probably much, according to the Mayo Clinic, I know they suggest a much lower level will can cause hypercalcemia than a million. That's much more, I forget what their number is, but it doesn't really matter. It's different in each person, I think, is what that really is. So, now little children, our study of the Bible for today. Thus the heavens and the earth and all their army came to their completion, and by the seventh day God came to the completion of his work that he had made, and he proceeded to rest on the seventh day from all his work that he had made. And God proceeded to bless the seventh day and make it sacred, because on it he has been resting from all his work that God has created for the purpose of making. This is a history of the heavens and the earth in the time of their being created, in the day that Jehovah God made earth and heaven. Now, there was as yet no bush of the field found in the earth, and no vegetation of the field was as yet sprouting, because Jehovah God had not made it rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. But a mist would go up from the earth, and it watered the entire surface of the ground. And Jehovah God proceeded to form the man out of dust from the ground, and to blow into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man came to be a living soul. Further, Jehovah God planted a garden in Eden toward the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Thus Jehovah God made to grow out of the ground every tree desirable to one's sight and good for food, and also the tree of life in the middle of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and bad. Now there was a river issuing out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it began to be parted, and it became, as it were, four heads. The first one's name is Pishon. It is the one encircling the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There also are the bdellium gum and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one encircling the entire land of Cush, which is also Ethiopia, but it's the northern Ethiopia, which is more in the crescent, or in the land of Arabia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one going to the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. And Jehovah God proceeded to take the man and settle him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to take care of it. And Jehovah God also laid this command upon the man: from every tree of the garden you may eat to satisfaction, but as for the tree of the knowledge of good and bad, you must not eat from it, for in the day you eat from it, you will positively die. And Jehovah God went on to say, it is not good for the man to continue by himself. I'm going to make a helper for him as a complement of him. Now Jehovah was forming from the ground every wild beast of the field. And every flying creature of the heavens. And he began bringing them to the man to see what he would call each one. And whatever the man would call it, each living soul, that was its name. So the man was calling the names of all the domestic animals and of the flying creatures of the heavens, and of every wild beast of the field. But for man, there was found no helper as a complement of him. Hence, Jehovah God had a deep sleep fall upon the man, and while he was sleeping, he took one of his ribs. And then closed up the flesh over its place. And Jehovah God proceeded to build the rib that he had taken from the man into a woman, and to bring her to the man. Then the man said, this is at last bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, because from man this one was taken. That is why a man will leave his father and his mother, and he must stick to his wife, and they must become one flesh. And both of them continued to be naked, the man and his wife, and yet they did not become ashamed. And that's Genesis chapter 2. I don't know whether my OBS is working properly, because I realize now that it doesn't say that it's working properly. It doesn't show my cam. But it might well be working properly. It just doesn't show up as on my particular. It should be showing, but I don't know. I can't tell whether it is. So hopefully that went well. And thank you for listening and watching, little children. Have a wonderful day. I love you very much. Praise God. Please God. Bless God. And God bless you. And let us have faith in Jesus, the Anointed One of God, and seek first always the kingdom of God, Jehovah, and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to us. Bye for now.